I know why you came to 10. All right. I want to jump right in. There's a great story tucked away here in 2 Chronicles 20. It's about one of the kings of Israel. His name was Jehoshaphat. Say that with me, Jehoshaphat. Yeah, it's hard to say. So I'm going to use his hip-hop name. His hip-hop name is J-Fat, okay? I think we should all have a hip-hop name, by the way. Go ahead and turn to the person next to you. Just let them know your hip-hop name. Would you just tell them? Can you? You're like, you got to think about it for a second, but do you have one? You don't have one? Okay, that's all right. You need to work on it. I'm just telling you, it's a big deal. You should get your hip-hop name down at lunch, all right? It's important. Okay. So right now, me, Lil Bill, would like to talk about J-Fat. Okay, so here we go. Here's what happens in the story. J-Fat actually comes under attack, and it's a direct attack. And so, and he's not just attacked, he's attacked by multiple armies at the same time. If you ever want to know whether you are being attacked spiritually, it's when you get hit after hit after hit. It's all coming at you at the same time, because you have to stop and say, maybe there's something or someone in the unseen world coordinating this. Does that make sense? How many of you guys know what I'm talking about? Like, it just always comes in threes or comes in twos. It never just comes at once, right? You're always like, man, I got this going on and that going on, and I got my child doing this, and I got someone at work doing that, and you're like, ah! It seems like it's always multiple hits at the same time. And so I got good news for you if that's you, by the way. That means you're so effective at who you are that the devil has to double team you. Isn't that good to know? Yeah. It's true. And so I just want to encourage you, think about in sports, they double team great players, right? Steph Curry almost always double teamed, right? Because they know he's a constant threat. CeeDee Lamb, I threw that one in for the Cowboy fans. How about Stephon Diggs, right? They double teamed him, right? TJ Watt, they double team him. Why? Because they know how dangerous and how effective they are. If the devil's coming at you from multiple sides, he is more scared of you than you are of him. That's good news. Means you're effective. Praise God. So that's what happened. So let's pick up in scripture, because Jehoshaphat, J-Fat, is just doing his job leading the country of Israel. And all of a sudden, in comes multiple messengers. And they're like, you know, they're like, oh, I'm so sorry, King, to interrupt, but you must know this right away. And he's like, okay, what you got? We're being attacked by three different armies right now. They're literally coming for us. So this would freak anyone out. I don't care who you are. I mean, you're like, whoa, you could be a Navy SEAL. You'd be like, wait, there's three different armies? Like, I mean, even with skills and talent and all that, I don't know what I can do with three armies coming at me at the same time. And so it's an overwhelming force that he's dealing with. Maybe you're dealing with that in your life too. So what does he do? First thing, it says this: alarmed. So he's shocked, surprised, right? Alarmed. Japhat resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all Judah. The people came together to seek help from the Lord. So the first thing he does is normally the last thing we do. The first thing he does, number one, would you write this down, is he inquires of the Lord. He goes straight to God. God, I need your help right now. What should I do? You knew about this before I did, right? First thing he does. But let's be honest, how many times is that like the last thing we do? We talk to our friends, our neighbors, our best friend, a coworker. We talk to a guy sitting across from us on the plane we don't even know. Right, it's just amazing how we'll seek advice from random people. We'll go to Google. You have no idea what, you know, well, Google says this. That means it could be a complete moron that wrote that you're getting. I mean, you just don't know. So it's unbelievable how we'll get advice from everyone and everything before we oftentimes go to the one all-knowing God. You thought I was going to say AI. No, that's not all-knowing. God is all-knowing. So I just want to challenge you to go to the Lord first rather than last. Guess what we do? We stress out. We're worried. Oh, what's going to happen? I don't know what to do. And then we're finally like, okay, God, I just need to come to you. And God's like, I could have saved you all that stress if you had started with me. So I just want to encourage you. We don't realize it, but we are Christians. Many of us are believers here. We're Christians, but we're acting like atheists, as if we have no one that can help us. And God is there for us. So number one, inquire of the Lord. This is huge. It's very important we do that. Notice it also says alarmed. This is alarmed. He inquired of the Lord. I wanted to say this about that. I believe him that he was alarmed. But sometimes when you're alarmed, you did have warnings. You know what I'm talking about? You know, I remember years ago, I mean, my back just gave me fits. And then all of a sudden, I can't even walk. I was like, I'm in such pain, I can hardly move. Like, what's going on? But I had warnings, you know, and the doctor's like, are you sure you never injured? I was like, no, I'm good. And I was like, oh, well, yeah, I did. It went all the way back to an injury from high school, but I just ignored it. And so I just want to challenge you that maybe something you're just ignoring. Maybe something in your family you're ignoring. Maybe physically something you've been ignoring, and you go to the doctor like I had to, and you realize, man, if I just would have come earlier when I had the warnings, probably could have saved myself a lot of pain. If I just would have listened to the warnings earlier, those little sinking suspicions in your spirit, you know, it could have saved you a lot of pain. So I just want to encourage you that sometimes it comes out of nowhere, but most of the time, God's loving enough to give us a bit of a warning. So maybe it's time for a conversation with someone. Maybe you say, you know, I can't put my finger on it, but I got to admit, when Pastor Bill was talking about the warning, something came to my mind. I want to talk to you about this. So don't be afraid to do that, right? So he inquires of the Lord. First thing he does. Now look at his prayer. We're going to dive into his prayer. Today's message is called How to Pray When the Enemy Attacks. I'm so excited about this. By the way, I've been working on a prayer book. We have a, by God's grace and goodness, God opened the door. I have a book deal, and my book has been due this. In fact, the final was last week. And so I was down to the wire trying to get it done. And then I'm also writing a sermon. And as I wrote this sermon, I was like, oh my gosh, this is so exciting for me. I feel like this is such a word that I called my publisher and said, can I add this to the book? So you're going to get a little preview of the book that's coming out in August. I'm excited about that. And guys, it's not a book. It's a movement. I believe that because it's on prayer. And that's who we are as a church. We're a praying church with a praying pastor. Prayer drives everything we do. And I just want to encourage you that God's about to do something big. Isn't that cool? I really believe that. I'm excited. So let's dive in. Let's see how he prayed when an enemy was literally attacking him. This is what he said. I love this prayer because this gives away one of the biggest secrets to a powerful prayer life. Here it is. Our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham? They have lived in it and have built in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, if calamity comes upon us, we will stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name and will cry out to you in our distress, and you will hear us and save us. I love this. What's he saying? He's saying, God, I'm scared. I don't know what to do. But God, I know you have come through in the past and you'll come through again. How many times are our prayers, we say, oh, I've been praying. And even in the tone of voice, you can tell, are you praying or are you just worrying out loud to God? Because prayers that are powerful are when you add your faith to it. There's just something powerful. You can say, God, this is crazy. I know what's going on. I'm really scared. But Lord, I know you are God. I know you are bigger. I know you can take care of me. And then what I want to encourage you to do is do what he did. He went back and said, you know, I remember my great-great-grandpa, he was in this battle with Egypt, with Egypt, and then God opened the door, and he and his wife, you know, and all my other relatives got to come out of Egypt, and they crossed through the Red Sea, and you delivered them. And then my dad, my mom, remember all the details of when they fought those battles, and the walls of Jericho came down, and you let us enter the promised land. Like he's saying, this is what you did way back when. This is what you did just a few, you know, years ago. And this is what you'll do today. He's saying, I know you'll come through. You always have. So he's giving God confidence, right? And so when you do that, you're not manipulating God. You're showing confidence in God. That inspires God. Did you know your confidence in God to come through for you inspires God to move? Did you know that? And so think about the centurion when he goes to Jesus. He's like, hey, Jesus, I'm sorry to interrupt you. I know you're a very powerful man. I believe in who you are. And so my son is very sick. Would you heal him? And Jesus is like, where's your son? He goes, you know, you need to come with me. I know who you are. You can heal from here. Jesus stops and goes, whoa, whoa, whoa. You do know who I am. That's impressive. He said, wow, I hadn't seen faith like this in a long time. And he healed his son. So your confidence in God inspires him to move on your behalf. You know, I kind of realized a couple years ago, I was like, I think my wife's in on this. She knows what she's doing. She's like, Bill, I just really believe you can make your office completely clean and make it awesome. I'm like, yeah, I could do that. And she's like, I think you could pick up after yourself and pull all these clothes up. I'm like, I'm man enough to do that. I could do that. And I realized, wait, I think she's working me here. What's going on, right? But she knows if she speaks confidence over me, it makes me get up and want to do something for her. Make sense? In the same way, it's not manipulation, it's confidence. When you say, God, I know you've got this. Maybe for you, you say, God, I may be facing a situation today, but Lord, you healed me of cancer. This is nothing for you. Lord, you saved my marriage, and so I know you can turn this around. Lord, you restored me from bankruptcy. Lord, you provided a better job for me. Lord, you healed our infertility. You helped us with a wayward child come back to you. You took care of our foreclosure. Lord, thank you, God. You came through in the past. I know you'll come through now. Give God some confidence. He's a God who can come through. He's not just a God who can come through. He's a God who has come through for you. So I want to encourage you, just if you got a pen, you're taking notes, or maybe you're taking notes on your phone, write two or three things where God just saved your bacon. I mean, you just like, man, Lord, if you wouldn't have come through, I'd be in a mess right now. Just write two or three things where God just came through for you. You know, like for me, you know, this back issue, God just miraculously, you know, yes, through the hands of surgeons as well, healed me. And I thank God for that, right? And so there's multiple areas where God has completely come through for me with my children, with our family. I mean, so I just want to challenge you. I bet God's come through for you too. Let's show God some confidence. We know that he will take care of us. So now he goes on. So the first thing he does, this is important. Number two, first thing is he inquires of the Lord. Number two, in your prayer, praise God by speaking of his past victories in your life. Would you write that down? You know, praise him by speaking, well, Lord, this is what you did before. This is what you did then. This is what you did then. And I know you come through now. So just speak of the past victories God has got you out of before. Show him confidence. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances. This is going to sound crazy, but maybe you need to say, God, thank you for cancer. God, thank you for the betrayal I just went through. God, thank you for the battle I'm in. Because guess what? You're going to come out of this a better person. God's going to strengthen you for the next fight in your life. That's just how God does it. So I just want to encourage you that God is building you through the battle. I promise you he's doing that. So just learn to thank him for it. I'm not saying you're happy about it, but you're saying, God, I thank you. Maybe your prayer is, God, I don't like this, but Lord, I thank you that you're with me. You know, I know, Lord, that you don't always remove all obstacles, but you join with me and empower me to overcome the obstacle. So I thank you, God, that you are with me. Now let's pick up the next scripture. So first thing he does, he praises God for all he's done before. He gives him confidence and says, I know you'll hear my prayer and I know you'll save us. So he gives him confidence. Then look what he does. He then lays out the problem before God. This is really important. He says, but now here are men from Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whose territory you would not allow Israel to invade when they came from Egypt, so they did not destroy them. See how they are repaying us by coming to drive us out of the possession you gave us as an inheritance. God, will you not judge them? They were saying, we didn't mess with them when we could have. We didn't do that. We went around. But now they're attacking us, right? What's he saying? He's saying, this is unfair. It's okay to say, God, I'm being unfairly treated. This is not right. This is unfair. You may want to appeal to God with that because what you're saying is, God, I know you're a just God and you like fairness. And this is not right. And so God can right wrongs happening to you. Isn't that good to know? So he knows. He sees it, right? And he says this, for we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. And here is the line of the day. So powerful. Look what he says. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Wow. You hear that confidence in that? How powerful is that? We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. I need a volunteer. Could you come up real quick? Do you mind? Thank you. Appreciate that. I can't believe I just invited a Cowboy fan up here, but that's okay. Come on up. Can you come around? Do you mind? Thank you. Give this guy a hand. Would you do that? Thank you, sir. All right, so this is going to sound kind of funny, but this is, you know, it's for the illustration purpose. Okay, right now, I want you to put your eyes on me. Okay, so your eyes are on me. It's interesting because I just noticed when I asked you to put your eyes on me, you're looking at my face. You're looking at my eyes. You're looking directly in me, right? But many times, what we do is we go to God and we're looking at his hand. All right, God, can you give me this? Can you give me that? Can you give me that? Can you open this door? Can you bless me here? But God's like, no. Maybe God, in his loving care for you, is saying, I don't cause evil. I didn't cause this attack to happen. The world is evil on its own. Would you agree with me? But I'll let this through to get pretty close to you so you quit looking at my hand and you look me in the eye and you go, God, I need you now. Does that make sense? So could it be what you're struggling with is actually lifted your eyes to say, no, I'm not look there anymore. Lord, I'm looking at you. I need you now. Thank you. Give a hand to our friend here. I just want to encourage you. Could you be saying, God, come through there, come through with this, give me this, give me that. And we're treating God like he's our own personal Amazon account. You know what? You're going one click on him. Oh, yeah, God, can you give me that? Click. Can you give me that? Click. Click. Oh, there's suggestions at the bottom. Click, click, click. Right. Isn't it funny how we do that? And so, but God's like, I am not a dispenser of blessings. I am God. I want to be in a relationship with you. I want to be your God, and I want you to be my people, and I want to walk and live among you. That's how I want it with you. Quit just looking at my hand. Yes, I'm a provider. Yes, I'm a blesser. But you know how much more blessing you'll have for me if you quit looking at my hand and start looking at my face? That's what God wants with us. So could God be allowing the fight to get really close so that you finally look up and say, God, I need you now? And God's like, about time. About time you recognize you really needed me, not just what I can give. You need me. And so you need his wisdom, his guidance, his protection, his counsel. He is there for you. And so put your eyes on him. I don't know what to do, Lord, but our eyes are on you. Face to face, we're looking right at you. And so, number three, lay out the problem before the Lord. This is very important. Just lay it out. And by the way, when you lay out the problem, God's not going, oh, I had no idea. Thanks so much for letting me in on it. He's aware. But when you lay out the problem before God, now you're in the presence of the Holy Spirit. I hope you're in the presence of his word too. And when you lay out the problem, all of a sudden you'll start to see it differently. You're like, oh, first of all, I have a God who can take care of this. So if my God can take care of this, what would maybe he have me do? Just ask him, God, what would you have me do? And God will tell you. This is really important. And so, because God wants to speak directly to you and lead you in what to do. You will have a part to play, but then God will have a part to play that'll blow your mind. And so God says, I want you to do something in your natural, but then I'll add my super to the natural. Does that make sense? It's not one or the other. It's supernatural. We need both. We need God to do what only he can do, but then God will have stuff that only we can do. So it's important. Or really, God could do it, but God's like, why would I do that and you not grow? So I want you to have a part to play in this. So trust in the Lord. Don't seek his hand. Seek his face. Now, this is what they literally did this. Check this out. This is so powerful what they did next. It says, all the families of Judah stood there before the Lord. I don't know about you, but that always stops me because I'm a doer. Any doers in the house, you're like, let's just get going. Let's do something. Let's set some goals. Let's roll. That's a great quality, and you're probably a leader in whatever environment you're in if you're a doer because people look for people like that. That's great. You're action-oriented. I love that. Here's the problem. For me, I tend to run in front of God. And God's like, no, don't do that. So this is a statement I would make to my kids all the time when they were growing up. I would say this. I would say, hey, don't just stand there, do something. But then God says to me, don't just do something, stand there. Oh, just let me handle it. I got this. God's like, well, if you got this, you wouldn't still have a problem. So I don't think you got it. The Bible says, be still and know that I am God. What's God saying? He's saying, what does God mean? What does God mean to you today? Because there's different names of God, right? One of the things I do when I'm really facing a problem is I say, what names of God match my problem? You're like, I don't know what to do. Well, you know what? The Bible tells me that God, you're my counsel. You'll lead me to what to do. You know, I just feel like I don't have the strength to do it. Oh, wait, God is all powerful. He's sovereign. He's in control. And so he will give me his strength. Look, whatever it is that you're needing, there's a name of God that matches what you need. Isn't that cool? So look him up. Maybe he's Jireh, he's provider. Lord, I just need you to provide. You know, I don't know what this is, but we all need his peace, his protection, his guidance, his wisdom. You ever have this really tricky situation, you don't know what to do, it involves multiple people, you're like, they're kind of this way, they're kind of that way, and I don't know how to navigate this. God, you are, like we sing, you're my way maker. So would you just guide me through this treacherous territory? And he'll do that. Come on, someone get excited that God is there for you. He knows what he's doing. He's got you. He really does. So look what happens next. All the families of Judah stood there before the Lord. That means the little kids, the babies, they're holding a baby. They're just standing there. God, would you please protect us? Would you please help us? Would you please come through? Lord, just show us what to do. I think this is so powerful. You know why? Why would they bring babies and young children with them to stand before God? Because God wants your children to see you seeking God. I just want to challenge you with this. And I hear this a lot from men. They say, I can't pray. I don't want to pray out loud. Like, first of all, I'd hate to break it to you. It's kind of a sign you probably don't pray quietly much either, because this isn't a performance. It's just you talking to God. I'm not trying to get on you, because I've noticed that a lot of times, someone pointed this out to me earlier, that a lot of women are prayer warriors, but they often are not getting in the word. You see, when we pray, we're talking to God. When we open the word, God's talking to us. So it's not one or the other. It's both. So if you really want a powerful prayer time, have the word open. Let me show you why. Let me show you the scripture. It says, then they're all waiting for God. They're not moving. They're Lord, we're willing to stay here. So imagine, they're not moving. And I'm sure, well, I know for a fact, in Israel, that where the temple was, it was up high. It was on a mountain. So they're waiting on God, and out of the corner of their eyes, they can see an army coming. And yet they stay there. Is that not trust? Is that not trust to go, okay, well, let me get my sword. Okay, everybody get ready. Everybody get behind me. No, no. Waiting on you, God. Waiting on you. Oh, they're over there too. Oh, that's okay, God. Waiting on you. Wow. This is massive confidence that they're showing the Lord. And so they're waiting on God, and guess what happens? Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, a Levite. Now, we never hear this guy before or after. This is one time we hear. But obviously, he's a man of God. He's there, and God speaks to him and gives him a word. This is called a prophet. You know, people who are prophets, God gave them a word, they delivered the word, and it came true. And so that's how you know someone's a prophet. False prophets, when they give a word, it doesn't come true, right? And so, but in this case, it actually does. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, a Levite. A Levite means that you are a part of a group that is focused on worshiping. You're the worship leaders. You're the band. You're the choir. And that's what you do, right? You lead others in worship. And so what God is trying to show us here, he's saying, I have a word from you, but maybe the reason you haven't got a word from me yet is because you haven't begun, even in your crisis, with praise. If you can learn to praise God while you're going through it, God's like, I can trust this person with my answers. So we have to learn to hold our hand in faith and say, God, I will praise you and I will wait on you and I know you take care of me. And God's like, okay, now I will. So he gives him a word through Jehaziel. He said this, Jehaziel stood up and said, listen, King Japhet and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Oh, I can't resist it. Can I just tell you one thing about the scripture? I was going to try to blow by it, but I can't. It says over and over again, he's talking to Judah and Jerusalem. Did you know that the kingdom was divided? The nation was completely divided. I mean, good thing we don't understand anything like that here in America. Totally divided. And what happened? What brought them together? A battle outside of them. And they were like, look, y'all may not like each other, but you got to form one group here. We got to stick together. Maybe God's let a crisis hit your life because God's like, maybe now that you have cancer, you'll finally call your brother and get things right. I mean, is it really worth, like, isn't it amazing how some crisis makes you go, you know what? I've been dumb. This is petty. And you just get things right. And you didn't think it was petty, but now in light of what you're facing now, oh, now it's petty. Maybe God's allowed something to happen in your life where you're like, you know what? This is stupid. I just need to go to my son or daughter or my mom or my dad or, you know, whoever, a best friend that you used to be friends with and say, this is just dumb. I want to get things right with you. I'm facing a real situation. It's reminding me that life is precious. How many of you guys know what I'm talking about? So this brought Judah and Jerusalem back together. Maybe God's doing that. Maybe that's one of his purposes in what you're facing right now is for you to get over some hurt, let it go, and maybe even apologize for the part you played. So, you know, I mean, you may feel like it's 99% them, but there's still 1% on you then. And I'm sure they'll laugh at that and be like, oh, really? You know, but I just want to encourage you, get it right. It's just not worth it. So listen, King Japhet and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Oh, I love that line. Isn't that powerful? It's God's fight, not yours, not mine. He says, tomorrow, march down against them. You will find them in the desert of Jeruel. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your position, stand firm, and see the deliverance the Lord will give you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow. And the Lord will be with you. Jehoshaphat and all the people fell down and worshiped before the Lord. Now, this is important. They didn't say, God, just give us a word. Then God gave them a word, and they didn't go, thanks, see ya. No. This is not about relationship. So, God, I got a word from you, and this is normally where I run off and get happy and just go do something. No, I want to thank you for the word. When you're in a relationship with someone that you care about, please is a word you use. Thank you is a word you use. I'm sorry is a word, right? Because you care for this person. So you're sensitive to them. If you're in a real relationship with God, then all of a sudden your sensitivity goes up and you realize, Lord, I'm so sorry. So many times I hear something from you, I get this word, and then I run off. And I think God is telling us back. He's like, yeah, because I wasn't done. Like, I know you thought that was it, but yet I'm going to give you a word for the situation, but now I want to give you a word for you and me, in our relationship. So don't run off too quick. Don't just do something. Stand there and let God continue to speak to you, and then thank him that he's given you a word. So write this down, would you? Number 4, wait on the Lord until you receive a word from the Lord. Wait on God until you receive a word from God. My friend Stephen Furtick says this, one word from God is all you need to defeat what's trying to defeat you. It's good, isn't it? It's brilliant. It's really true. Once you have a word from God, you can face anything. This is why oftentimes I'm seeking the Lord. I'm asking God for something very specific, and God will come through. Remember, he said, I know you'll answer us. Now, if you're like me, when you read it, you're like, it's a little presumptuous there, buddy. You need to, well, who do you think you are, right? No, it's not who you think you are. It's who you think God is. You know, David would say this. I couldn't believe it. I started reading through the Psalms, and he says this a lot. He says, God, answer me now. If you're like me, you're like, whoa, bro. He's God. What do you? But God, after that, answers him. So God's not offended when you demand an answer. He may make you wait a little while. But David had an ongoing relationship with God, an ongoing worship with him. So God's like, I'll glad to give you the answer you need right now because I can trust your heart. I know you're devoted to me. And so believe it or not, what's going to cause God to answer your prayer request is when you actually have a real, thriving relationship with or without a crisis. And then God will answer you. Someone get excited because this means God's got an answer for you today. Isn't that good to know that? But I just want to mention this real quick, too, by the way, just to let you know, all of our campuses, please hear this. This week, in fact, it's either today or Tuesday at all of our campuses, our campus pastor will clarify, we have a class we're doing called Foundations. And many of you are thinking, oh, I'm already a Christian. I know about all that. I don't know. We've had a lot of people that have walked with the Lord a long time come to the class, and they said, oh, bro, I learned something new. I didn't know that. So I just want to encourage you, whether you're a brand new believer and you're just trying to get a foundation for your faith, or maybe you've been walking with God a long time, but you've been kind of on a faulty foundation, not applying some of God's word to give you the strength of a relationship. Amen. So I just want to encourage you. You'll learn how to pray. You'll learn how to hear from God. You'll learn how to read God's word and get something from it. So I just want to encourage you, please trust us on this. We wrote this curriculum. We're excited about it. Please go to Foundations. It will help you. If you've been walking with God for 30 years, it will help you. Or if you've been walking with God for 30 days, it'll help you. So please check out that class. Our campus pastors will let you know what time and where. I'm excited about that. Can we give it up for our campus pastors? These guys are working hard. Thankful for them. They really are great guys. Let me show you what happens next. So they stop. They worship God. Then the next morning, first thing, after spending this time with God, thanking for his word, what do? Early in the morning, they left for the desert. What do? After they worshiped God and waited on him and heard from him, then they thanked him. Then after that, they went straight to what God told them to do. It says early in the morning, first thing, do what I told you, right? Early in the morning, they left for the desert. As they set out, Japheth stood and said, listen to me, Judah and the people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets. By the way, did you know in the Old Testament, prophets represent the word of God? So today God's saying, have faith in my word. I got you. I'm going to lead you. And then look what they do. He says, if you'll do that, you'll be successful. After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat had appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army. Ooh, wait, don't you need to put your Marines on the front? Don't you, like, where are your Navy SEALs, your Army Rangers? Like, what are you doing? And he's like, no. I believe what you said is not our battle, so I'm going to put the singers. I can put the choir in the front of the army. Now, no offense, but most people in the choir aren't really what you call tough guys. I'm not trying to be ugly. I know some pretty tough dudes, you know. But what's he saying? He's saying, I trust you so much, I'm not going to put the baddest dudes on the planet in front. I'm going to put the worshipers. What's he saying? He's saying, my declaration of war is when I begin to worship. That's what worship really is. And then look what happens. I love this. They went out, the head of the army, saying, give thanks to the Lord for his love endures forever. As they began to sing and praise. So what triggered God? Our praise. The Lord set an ambush against Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. They destroyed one another. That can only be God. It would cause armies to turn inward on each other. What does this mean? If you lift your hand to God, would you write this down? If you lift your hand to God in praise, then God will lift his hand against your enemy. You say, God, I'm going to lift my hand in praise. God says, I'll lift my hand to clear out who's bothering you. Listen, I want to lift my hand to God, but I don't want to see the backhand of God. Right? I want to be on God's side. There's a song that you've heard and sang probably 100 times. Sometimes I love it when one worship song just encapsulates a story in the Bible or a concept or principle of the Word of God so clearly, and this one does.